The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter Number 8, Text Number 8, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on January 14, 2007, in Suva, Fiji.
The body of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu is described as sprouting the lotus stem within which all the planets of the universe remain. And at the top of the stem is the lotus flower on which Lord Brahma is born. In the creation of the material world, the Supreme Lord undoubtedly assumes a gigantic body, and living entities also get bodies big or small according to necessity. For example, an elephant gets a gigantic body according to its needs, and so also an ant gets its body according to its needs. Similarly, if the personality of Godhead assumes a gigantic body to accommodate the universes or the planets of a particular universe, there is no difference in the principle of assuming or accepting a particular type of body in terms of necessity. A living being and the Lord cannot be distinguished simply by the difference in the magnitude of the body. So the answer depends on the specific significance of the body of the Lord as distinguished from the body of the common living being. Om Ajnanatim Adandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. So, there are many varieties of bodies. This is described in the Vishnu Purana. Jalaja Navalakshani Stavara Lakshavinshati Trinksha Rujani Sankhyakaha Pakshinam Dashalakshanam Trinksha Lakshani Pashavaha Chatur Lakshani Manashaha. So it is listed. The modern day scientists, they are trying to count all the species through their empirical methods. But they have been counting for hundreds of years and they still have not got it right, you see. The Vedic science, long time ago, knew exactly there are 8,400,000 species. So if we will simply take the realized, enlightened version given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vishnu Purana, Bhagavad Gita, then immediately we get perfect scientific knowledge regarding who am I, who is God, and what is my relationship with God. These are the essential things. In the modern day society, we become diverted by so many non-essential things. Of course, there is some essentiality to the bodily necessities. But it is not ultimately essential. It is only relatively essential. That as long as you are trying to keep body and soul together, there is some necessity of eating, sleeping, mating and defending. But ultimately, what is the necessity of these things? You see? When the body is finished, am I finished? No. At any moment, the body can drop dead. At any moment, the body can be finished. So what am I doing to take care of my actual necessity? This is the purpose of these questions in this chapter being put forward by Maharaj Parikshit. He is inquiring those questions which are relevant for one who is about to die. So who in this room can say that they are not about to die? You see, every one of us is about to die. Today, tomorrow, next week, the week thereafter, Every one of us here is slated to die. There's a little time clock going off for each one of us. Just like when they have those space launchings, they go 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, blast off. You see? So each one of us, we have a time clock. It's ticking off. Minus one, minus, it just keeps going slower, lower, and lower. And when it reaches the point of zero, then blast off. We take off from this body and we go somewhere other place, you see. So where you will blast off to, that is up to you. Where do you want to go? Do you want to take an animal body? Do you want to take a plant body? Do you want to take the body of germ? What do you want? Would you like an eternal body which is full of knowledge and bliss, which is eternally youthful? Satchidananda Vigraha, a body which can, in which you can directly participate with Krishna and his transcendental pastimes? Would you like that kind of body? You have your choice. Just like when you go to the marketplace, Suva City, there are so many shops. You see. This shop, that shop, so many shops. You can shop where you want. You can choose. So, in the same way, you can choose what kind of body you would like to have in your next lifetime. Would you like a temporary body which rots? Or would you like an eternal body? This choice each and every one of us have. Before Prabhupada came, we had no choice. We didn't know. We were all slated to go down to the animal kingdom, you see. Before Prabhupada came, where were we? We were totally lost. Didn't matter, even we were religious. We may have been Christian, Hindu, Jew, you see. But where were we going? We were simply going to hell, you see. But now that Prabhupada has come, we have the choice. Do we want to take birth again in this material world, or do we want to go back to home, back to Godhead? So if we follow the pathway of King Parikshit, he is the acharya of hearing. He is the acharya of asking the perfect questions. You see. If we can follow this pathway, it's such a nice chapter of the Bhagavatam, the chapter 8 of Canto 2. This shows how to inquire from the spiritual master. If we can follow this pathway of Parikshit Maharaj, then we are guaranteed to go to the same place that Parikshit Maharaj went. Just imagine how nice it would be to personally meet Parikshit Maharaj. Yes, I read your conversation in the Bhagavatam and now I'm meeting you personally. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to meet Parikshit Maharaj face to face? You see? That is available. Each and every one of us, we can personally meet Shukadeva Goswami. We can personally meet Parikshit Maharaj. We simply have to hear with rapt attention just exactly as Parikshit Maharaj did. We simply have to see, how did Parikshit Maharaj think? How did he speak? How did he act? We simply must mold our thoughts, our words, and our deeds along the line of Parikshit Maharaj. And if we do that, we will go to that same place, that transcendental abode of Lord Sri Krishna. And we will meet all these great personalities of the Bhagavatam. The rascal scholars, they say, Bhagavatam is mythology. What demons they are. Mythology. But we Vaishnavas know this is not mythology. This is more real than the material world, actually. This material world, it comes, it goes. Every time Mahavishnu inhales, what happens? The whole material conglomeration of universes, they are all dissolved. They go into a state of suspended animation. The whole material nature goes into a dormant state, is like a bear sleeping during the winter in the northern regions. Simply hibernates. The material nature goes into a state of hibernation. And then, and all the living entities who are caught up in karma chakra, they also go into hibernation. Doesn't matter who they are. They may be demigod, they could be Brahmaji, anyone. A germ, an ant, a grasshopper, a king, a prime minister, a businessman, a millionaire, a pauper, a leper, a doctor, everyone. The time of the universal destruction, they go, if they are not liberated, they go into the body of Mahavishnu in a hibernated, dormant condition. And then when Mahavishnu exhales, all those living entities, they come out and they pick up exactly where they left off. How they were trying to enjoy this material world, they will take that position again. You see? If they had the mood of chicken, they will come out again as chicken. If they had the mood of elephant, they come out again as elephant. They get a suitable body according to their mentality. It's like when we were in Australia, we noticed we have a very nice project there now. It is called Govinda Valley, just south of Sydney along the coast, just next to a very beautiful national park. But there's some very high cliffs. There are beautiful cliffs overlooking the ocean. So the hang gliders come. They take some wings and they hold on and they go gliding around on these wings, you see. So you can understand what kind of body they will take in next life, you see. And then here in Fiji, we see the tourists come and they want to go scuba diving, you see. They rent the tank, they rent the fins, the mask, and they want to go scuba diving. So we can understand what kind of body they are qualifying themselves for in next lifetime. Why bother having to rent a scuba tank? You can just get some fins and you can breathe through your fins without having to pay any rental fee on scuba diving, you see. Material nature is very kind. Why have to hassle renting some hang glider device or scuba equipment or fins when you can simply get the body of a fish or a bird? You see? If you like to sleep many, many, many long hours, then why have a human body? Human means you have to get up and go to the office. You see? But if you come there, then you can hibernate in the winter for many, many months. Just go to sleep, 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 sleep. Just like we see in the Bhagavatam class. Some devotees, they fall asleep. You see? So if you like to sleep, then you can become bare. But if you don't want to become bare, then wake up. Wake up in the Bhagavatam class. Don't fall asleep. Otherwise you may become bare. You see? You may say, but I'm a devotee. But wasn't Varada Maharaj a devotee? He became a deer. You see? Don't think because I have Kanti Mala, I have Tilak, I can do anything I want. That's like Christianity. I accepted Jesus. So now I am saved. You see? I accepted Krishna, so now I can do whatever I want. I'm going back to Godhead. It's not so easy. You have to develop the mentality of a Vrindavan Vasi. You see? You have to have the mentality of a resident of the spiritual world. That you have to cultivate. You see? According to your state of mind, you get your next situation. The Christians, they say, I'm going to heaven because I accepted Jesus. But what do they do every Sunday after the church service? We see they take the whole family, the kids, they drive over to McDonald's. You see, for their Sunday double cheeseburger. You see? Now I ask you this, what if somehow or another they went back to heaven, the kingdom of God? What's the first thing they're going to ask for once they get to heaven? Where's the McDonald's? And God will have to say, I'm sorry, we don't have that franchise here. We only have Hare Krishna restaurant here. I said, well, I guess I have to go back to Suva to get my McDonald's, you see. They may think they're going to heaven. But because they have taste for things which are only found here in this material world, therefore they must remain here to satisfy those desires. If you want to go back to Godhead, then you must have only desires for serving Krishna and nothing else. If you have any desires separate from serving Krishna, then you must take birth again here in this place of birth and death. You see? So the intelligent sadhaka, the intelligent person who is following this pathway of bhakti, he's very careful to weed out all material desires. As we've been explaining recently, if you want to become fixed in Krishna consciousness, you must become your own psychoanalyst. You must always observe your own mind. You must see, is my mind Krishna conscious right now or is it not? And if it's not, then you have to do something. You have to take stringent action. Yato yato nishchalati manas chansalamastaram tatastato niyam yaitat atman nevivasangniya. Krishna says, from whatever or wherever the mind wanders, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. So we have to be very vigilant. Just like we hire a security guard here for the temple, isn't it? To keep the thieves from having a holiday here on Krishna's property. So we have to hire a security guard ourselves to guard our own mind. You see, keep a watchful eye. Am I Krishna conscious right now? Or am I not Krishna conscious? Would Prabhupada be pleased with me for what I'm thinking about right now? Would my Guru Maharaj be pleased with me for what I'm thinking about right now? Or would I have to be embarrassed if Guru Maharaj were to know, or Prabhupada were to know what I'm thinking right now? Would I be embarrassed? You see? We have to be very, very conscious of whether we are conscious of Krishna or not. And always keep ourselves fixed. In Krishna consciousness. This is called yoga. This is called discipline. Prabhupada wrote me one letter, and in that letter he told me straightforward, disciple means discipline. We all like to say, oh yes, I'm the disciple of such and such. But if we are not disciplining ourselves, like Prabhupada one time stated, he says, if any of my male disciples are keeping long hair, they are not my disciples. You see, he didn't want the hippie hairs coming out of the heads of his male disciples. So they are not my disciples. So disciple is not some cheap thing that I sat for diksha, so now I am just... No. Disciple means one who is disciplining himself. He is watching himself. I must be fixed in Krishna consciousness. My every moment, my every step. So what is the result of such discipline? An outsider may ask, well, you're describing in detail a process of regulating the senses, regulating the mind. Well, I'm not interested in that. I just want to make money. You see? Make money and enjoy my senses. They may say, what's the use of this Krishna consciousness? Do I become more wealthy if I become Krishna conscious? What's the use of it? Actually, you do become more wealthy. One simply has to understand, what is wealth? You see? Actual wealth is that which cannot be taken away. That is actual wealth. Actual wealth is that which cannot be taken away by anything. That is actual wealth. I may have the shadow of wealth in the form of money, in the form of land, in the form of gold or jewelry or so many things. That's the shadow of actual wealth, you see. But real wealth is that which can never be taken away. And that wealth is one thing and one thing only. Prema-dhan, you see. That wealth of prema, love of God, that is the ultimate wealth. That person, how is that the ultimate bow? That person who has love of God, they are the wealthiest person. That's a fact. How so? Well, just consider this. What is the position of someone who has developed love of Krishna? What is their position? The position is that they actually become the controller of God. That's described. God becomes under their control. Just like Mother Yashoda, she's chastising little Damodar, you see. Or Krishna is driving the chariot for Arjuna. One who becomes a pure lover of God, God becomes their servant actually. And this is why pure love of God is not given very easily. One who develops love of God, they become the controller of God. Krishna is Ajita. He is one who cannot be controlled. But Krishna becomes Jita or controlled by who? He becomes controlled by his devotee. You see? That is the position. The devotee becomes in such a position that he becomes the controller of God. So if that person, Krishna, who owns everything and controls everything, comes under the control of the devotee, can the devotee be deficient in anything? In anything material or spiritual? Is it possible for that devotee to be deficient in anything? No, it is not possible. Because that person who owns everything, who controls everything, he is under the control of the devotee. And I'll give you an example. Prabhupada had practically no money. But they found that very nice house in Detroit, the Fisher Mansion. It was wonderful. This was done by Fisher at huge expense, like many decades prior. In the USA, there's a car, they sell Chevrolet here, Chevrolet car. I don't know if they still have, but the Chevrolet car, it used to always be a little emblem inside the door. It would say, "Body by Fisher." So Fisher was a very big man in the early days of the Detroit automobile industry, you see. Very wealthy, wealthy man. And he built this incredible mansion on the canal going into the lake. There was you go downstairs and there was boat docks. You're in the house, you go downstairs inside the house, and there was two boat docks inside the house. It's like we have garage in the house. He had boat docks inside the house. You go downstairs in the house and there's a boat dock. Indoor boat dock. And you get in the boat and you open the little doors and you go sailing out onto the lake from your house. And he had two boat docks. So he's a very, very wealthy man. There was, you know, gold, pure gold faucet handles. I mean, it's an incredible thing. So Prabhupada, this place had been in disrepair. And Prabhupada, this would be a very nice temple for Krishna. Actually, the neighborhood had become a very bad, rundown neighborhood. But this mansion, this palace was sitting there for sale. So Prabhupada, he thought this would be a very nice temple for Krishna. Krishna should have the best house. But Prabhupada didn't have any money. But Prabhupada wanted to get that house, and then Krishna provided the money. Prabhupada's disciple, Ambarish, who's very wealthy, the Ford family, and also the famous labor leader, Walter Ruther, his daughter, she had also joined our movement. The two of them chipped in their monies and purchased this wonderful house. Prabhupada bargained him down to a very, very low price. Actually, the real estate agent was very angry. He said, "Your Swamiji has cheated me." Prabhupada, they were negotiating price, and then what Prabhupada said, he said, "Actually, you should donate this property to us," Prabhupada said. And the real estate man, he was just shocked. He almost had a heart attack. How a heavy negotiator Prabhupada was. "Now you should donate," you see. So Prabhupada brought him way down to $400,000, some ridiculously low price. And then they got the money from these two disciples. So in this way, even though Prabhupada had no money, he was able to buy a huge palace. wonderful palace. It's so beautiful. You go there today and see what a beautiful, amazing gem it is for our society. So if we simply become completely dependent on Krishna, just like Prabhupada was totally dependent on Krishna at every step, then there's no limit to what we can accomplish for pushing forward this movement. Prabhupada had very big vision of this movement going forward. Prabhupada actually told us, he said that the day will come when the government leaders, they will come to this movement to know how to run their countries. You see, the presidents, the prime ministers, the kings, the queens, they will come to ISKCON to know how to run their countries, you see. So this is a very, very wonderful, it's maybe inconceivable for us, but we have to have our faith in Srila Prabhupada's vision of a Krishna-conscious world. As we are many times repeating, Prabhupada had this vision that Fiji could become the first Krishna-conscious country in the world. If that happened, this little, which is not considered a very major player in the world politics, but I guarantee you, if this country of Fiji became purely Krishna-conscious from the prime minister all the way down the line, this country would become the leading country in the world. From this, just like the British, from their small island, they ruled the whole world. Fiji would become the leading country on this whole planet. The cultural center of the world would become Fiji if this country can adopt Krishna consciousness, as Prabhupada said it could. So we should live for that. All of us devotees who are preaching, who are living here or visiting here for preaching, we must work together as a family to make that become a reality, that Fiji will become a completely Krishna-conscious country. Prabhupada said even the local Fijians, he said, they are good men. He said they can also join this movement. He said, this is not a Hindu movement or a white skin movement or this skin movement. You see, this is a movement which is transcendental to the color of the skin. This is on the platform of the soul. So let us all work together, white skin, black skin, Indian, whatever skin we may have, it doesn't matter, female skin, male skin, whatever skin we may have, it does not matter. Let us work together as a family to make Prabhupada's vision a reality, that Fiji will become the first Krishna conscious country in the world. You see? This absorption in pleasing Srila Prabhupada, this absorption in doing that which will please Srila Prabhupada will make each and every one of us totally happy. When Prabhupada was here, there was nothing that gave us more happiness than when Prabhupada was pleased with us. And there was nothing that caused us more anxiety when Prabhupada was displeased with us. You see, we live to please Prabhupada, that's all. Simply, if Prabhupada is pleased, then everything is perfect. And if Prabhupada is displeased, it's worse than hell. You see, worse than hell. So let us now work together as a family of devotees, the ISKCON men and women, to make Prabhupada completely, totally pleased by making Krishna consciousness the central point of everyone's life here in the Fiji Islands. So we can ask now if there's any questions.
Hare Krishna. This Purusha avatars, this Vishnu avatar, the big form of Mahavishnu.
The Purusha avatars?
Yes. Okay. In comparison with the universal form of the Lord, Virat, is it more or less same or different to how we...
Simultaneously, one and different. That's a thing. He's asking, what is the relationship between the Virat Rupa, the universal form of the Lord, and these Purusha avatars? They are simultaneously one and different. The Virat Rupa has a different function than the Purusha avatar. So there is difference. Actually, Virat Rupa is non-different from the universal manifestation. But the Karnadakashai Vishnu, he is the source of the universal manifestation. So there is difference there. If there is no universal manifestation, the time of the after the inhalation of the cosmic manifestation, then where is the scope for Virat Rupa, which is the universal form? When the universe is in a state of non-manifestation, then Virat Rupa is also in a state of non-manifestation within Mahavishnu. You see? So there is difference.
One says it's a material form. The other one is an eternal form.
Yeah. Prabhupada makes a comparison, the Virat Rupa with the deity form. You see, the deity form, the time of universal destruction, the deity form may disappear. He explains like that. He compares the Virat Rupa with the deity form. But that Karanadakashai Vishnu, he does not disappear. He is the one who, by whose influence the appearance and disappearance of the cosmos is taking place. Yeah. Questions more? Yes.
Maharaj was sitting in the Vyasa Sangha and gave a lecture on Srimad Bhagavatam class. What is the minimum qualification a devotee should have? How many books should I have read before giving it?
What is the qualification for sitting in the Vyasa Sangha? Yes, Prabhupada says one must be sinless. And one should be able to defeat all opposing arguments also. One should be free from illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, gambling, pride, fault finding, all the faults. One should be free of these faults. And one should be very expert also defeating all opposing arguments. Someone can come and they can challenge, and the person that Vyasan is going, that he can't say anything. He has to be able to defeat any opposing argument, smash it, completely obliterate any opposing argument. And that requirement also is there. You see? So you want to test me?
Just like to add one thing, who says that whoever sits on the Vyasa Asana, we should respect him just like that.
Yes, that is
right. Whether he's a young man or whether he's an old man, or
that's right.
What qualifications whether he had.
Shukadeva Goswami was a young man. He was a 16-year-old boy. He was sitting on Vyasa Asana. Actually, in that assembly, when Shukadeva was speaking, there were so many senior, old men, great sages, came from all over the universe. But some young boy, we have any 16-year-old boys here? What is your age? You're 16? Yes. So he was a 16-year-old boy like this Prabhu here, you see, and he was sitting on Vyasa-san, and all these great elderly sages, even his own father, Veda Vyas, who is practically as old as the universe, they were all sitting and hearing from him. 16-year-old boy, you see. So there's no bodily qualification. Well, he has to be Indian, you know. Even woman can sit. Janava Mata, she was sitting on Vyasasana. She became the leading acharya of the Gaudiya Vaishnava community after her husband departed. Janava Mata became the leading acharya for the Gaudiya Vaishnava community. So there's no bodily qualification, you see. It is simply a matter of realization. Who may speak? So, Prabhupada wants us all to become qualified like that. You see? That's Prabhupada's vision. Yes, go ahead.
Sudhir Goswami had the full knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam. My question was, how many books should we complete reading before Srimad Bhagavatam?
When Prabhupada started this movement, there was only one book to read. and that was the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. Prabhupada, Vishnu Jan Maharaj, who made me a devotee, he told me, Prabhupada said he had put everything into the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. If you simply understand the essence, if one has realized the essence of Krishna consciousness, even if you haven't read, you know, all the Vedic literatures, that is qualification. One does not have to be a jnani to become qualified to sit in the Vyasasana. The qualification is bhakti, not jnana. Of course, jnana is important. Prabhupada said that all of my followers must read all of my books or what? They will fall down. So, one should read all of Prabhupada's books. That is a very good qualification. Not only for sitting in the Vyasasana, but even for sitting in the temple room. Everyone who's sitting in this temple room, you must read all of Prabhupada's books. Why Vyasasana? Sitting in the temple room. Anyone who's sitting in temple room, they must read all of the books. Prabhupada said that if you don't read all the books, you'll fall down. So do you want anybody here in the temple room to fall down? No. We want everybody in this temple room to go back to home, back to Godhead. So you all must read all of the books. Who is sitting here, he should have read all of the books. I read all the books, by the way. I have read all the books that Prabhupada gave us, cover to cover, everywhere. I didn't necessarily read the whole, the general index in the back. But I've read all the books. So we thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.